The Fo-Sec man went off into the woods to rejoin Clarissa and the Muties. The soldier, who happened to bear an uncanny resemblance to J.B. Dix, began slowly changing form, flawlessly coalescing back into the canine Mutie form she had donned for Clarissa's benefit. Sheila had been using the armorer's form in the extra guise of a Sec man to conduct surveillance on the Ville before the Outlander's attack began, and now she had useful information to bring back to them. With Bauer's little plan for overthrow, he would unwittingly be helping her friends accomplish their goal that much sooner. Not that she'd trust the man to be anything different from the Baron once Bauer achieved power. Anyone who condoned what Baron Fox was doing here, without any remorse whatsoever, was still the enemy. A new enemy. Perhaps not the enemy, but a threat nonetheless. One that she would soon delight in eliminating. She slinked off into the woods to inform Clarissa of her discovery. Once the Sec men in Bauer's office were informed of the plans for revolt, they went back out to assume their positions until all was ready. That was all except Fillinger, who stayed rooted to the floor.
You got a problem, mister?
It's just that if I do what you ask to keep the Baron busy, and if he finds out he's been tricked before your revolution is complete, he'll chill me.
Then get someone else to do your dirty work. Hell, I've been doing that lunatic's dirty work all this time, so it's nothing new for me.
But whoever I did that to, I'd essentially be selling them up the river.
Damn it, man, do I have to do all your thinking for you. Manipulate Grundwald into doing it. He's already on the Baron's shit list. That way you'll be killing two birds with one stone. I'll be rid of a Sec chief loyal to the Baron, and you'll be made Sec chief after he's dead.
Fillinger slowly smiled, but there was no pleasure in the expression.
Just continue to do your job, Fillinger. But remember that you're working for me now.
Clarissa returned to the WAG late in the afternoon. She was being trailed by a few Muties, but they were hanging well back and seemed more concerned with the farm than following her.
Muties are ready?
They can't wait to get inside. But there's something else you need to know about.
What's that?
Baron Fox's right-hand man, Norman Bauer, has decided that he's going to lead a revolt against the Ville. Said that all this business with the Outlander has convinced him that the Baron is mad and needs to be replaced.
Will he help us?
I doubt it. He's not exactly a humanitarian, and I think he's just doing this for his own purposes. You know, biding his time until this mess is over with and all that.
Well, at least his men will keep the Baron's men busy enough so that we can locate Ryan and the women.
That may be true, but we can't rely on that. Let's just continue with the plan as if they weren't even a factor. If they turn out to be a help, that's just a bonus. If they turn out to be more of the same problem, we just do what we came here to do and get out.
The sun was almost gone from the day, and the sky was streaked in a rainbow of fiery reds, glowing oranges, and searing yellows. Flashes of greenish blues cut between the hues, like portals to another time. It was a beautiful sight, one few had the time to admire. For Grundwald, the setting sun meant he had failed. The one-eyed Outlander was still hidden somewhere on the farm, and his chances of escaping the complex outright would improve with every minute of darkness.
Should I call back the Sec men to guard the main building through the night?
Grundwald considered it, but knew he couldn't tell the Baron that the Outlander was still on the loose, and as long as he kept searching, he hadn't failed.
No more than a dozen men. Turn on the lights and leave the rest of them out there in the orchards.
But they'll be easy targets to chill for a single man in the dark.
The Sec chief realized he was putting his men at risk, but there was no other choice. The search had to continue.
If one of them gets chilled, then at least we'll know where the One Eye is.
Fillinger was silent a moment. He knew that now was the time to implement Bauer's orders.
What about the Baron? He'll want a report.
I'm aware of that.
Perhaps you could give him something to keep him occupied, if you know what I mean.
What did you have in mind, Fillinger?
Fillinger looked uneasy, as if he really didn't want to answer the question. However, he eventually cleared his throat and spoke.
Perhaps Norman Bauer could send a breeder to the Baron's quarters.
Grundwald scratched his chin and nodded.
That would definitely get him off my back and give me some more time to find that One Eye. Okay, find Bauer and tell him to get someone pronto, preferably one with red hair. That should keep him busy for a while.
Fillinger nodded, frowned, then turned to carry out the Sec chief's orders.
Now let's go find that damned Outlander.
There was a single knock on the door before it opened. Ryan had been sitting on the edge of the bed, and only had time to dive to the floor between the bed and the wall. His Sig Sauer was in his hand, and ready to fire, but he resisted the temptation to rise up with his blaster blazing. He'd be able to take out the first Zek man, but there would be more coming through the door without another way out of the cabin.
What is it? You've already been through here twice today.
Ryan slid under the bed and looked out from beneath it through a slit in the overhanging sheets. The Sec man had ignored Deborah's comment.
Let's go.
Go where? What have I done?
Nothing wrong. You're going to see the Baron.
With a pained expression, Deborah glanced over at the bed where Ryan had been only seconds before.
Is it a celebration? Did they find the one eye?
Not yet.
Then why is the Baron calling for me?
Not the Baron, Sec Chief Grunwald. He wants the Baron kept busy while we continue the search.
Oh. My pleasure.
Ryan knew those words were solely for the Sec Man's benefit. Deborah knew she would hate whatever the pervert Baron would do with her.
Let's go.
At the door she stopped and turned back to where Ryan was hiding under the bed. She could see his face, and he gave her the thumbs up to indicate he'd make sure nothing happened to her. With that, she was pulled from the room. Baron Fox was lying back on his round, oversized bed, looking through another stack of pre-dark hardcore skin mags. This one was called Dominas and featured naked and provocatively dressed breeders subjugating men in a variety of different ways. The Baron turned the page, and there were two women, one dressed in red, the other dressed in black, standing on a naked man. Each of the women wore spike-heeled shoes, and the heels were pressing into the man's flesh, threatening to break the skin at any moment. Here were breeders acting as he would as the Baron. The men in the photos were the slaves, happy to be humiliated, punished, physically injured by the wickedly evil breeders. The Baron wondered if he might be able to experience such a thrill. It was unlikely, since he was the Baron, and if he let himself be dominated by any of his breeders, it would be looked upon as a sign of weakness. Just then, there was a knock on the door.
Enter!
He'd been expecting Norman Bauer, but was surprised to see a Sec man enter.
What is it, Fillinger?
A breeder, Baron.
The Baron put the skin mag aside for now and rose from his bed.
I never asked for any breeders.
The Sec man let the woman enter the Baron's quarters. She was young and attractive, but then he noticed the hair color.
Sec Chief Grunwald sent her, sir.
What?
He knows you've had a stressful day and could use a breeder to unwind.
He said that?
The Sec man, obviously frightened of the Baron, simply nodded.
He hasn't caught the one-eyed outlander yet, has he?
The Sec man shook his head.
Triple stoop fucker. He thinks I'll just forget about his incompetence by sending me some breeder.
The Sec man stood still and silent. Deborah was trembling in fear.
I was hoping he'd show a little imagination in his search, but he's just as triple stoop as the rest of you.
The Baron went over to a dresser and pulled open the top drawer. In one fluid motion, his hand slid inside and came out with a blaster. He turned to the Sec man.
Find the Sec chief and tell him to meet me in the nursery.
Yes, Baron.
And find that red-headed gaudy slut of an outlander and bring her to the nursery, too.
The Sec man ran off to carry out the Baron's orders.
If the Sec chief can't find the one eye, then maybe we can use his friends to draw him out.
Now only Deborah remained.
You wait for me here. I'll be back.
As he watched Fillinger retreat from the Baron's office, Norman Bauer looked at his wrist chron. It was time. The Sec men loyal to him would also be watching their crons and would know when to begin the attack. And, just as he had commanded, one of his men reported to him right on time.
Is everyone ready?
Yes, Baron Bauer.
Baron Bauer? It had a certain agreeable ring to it. He liked it.
Then let's move.
J.B. tapped his finger on the key, waiting for word to come from the back of the wag that everything was secure and the rest of the group were ready to move. When Jack and Dean were in position behind the 50 calibers, Doc was in the wag's bed overseeing the cannon shells, and Clarissa was riding shotgun with J.B.'s Uzi at the ready, J.B. grabbed hold of the wag's key and turned it. The starter motor turned over weakly, the engine sputtered, and then stopped.
Want us to push?
Not yet.
He turned the key again, and the starter let out a series of slow, protesting groans. The engine sputtered once more, but this time it suddenly roared to life.